Welcome to the ministry of Harvest Life Church. We pray that this message would help harvest the life God has for you.
The miracle shouldn't be the mission. It happens on the mission. I thought to myself, if you want to feel something, don't go to a miracle meeting. Go on a missions trip and feed some homeless children. Then you'll feel something. You'll feel all sorts of things, like grateful and renewed perspective on your blessing that God has put on your life. Amen. All right, last session. Let's pray. Father, we glorify you. We worship you. We thank you for everything you've spoken to us today, last night, with Pastor Jabin and Tommy, Lord. But we know that you always take us from wisdom to wisdom, glory to glory. So continue to speak to us in Jesus' name. So last Tuesday at Abundant Living in El Paso, by the way, I didn't get introduced. If you don't know me, my name's Jared. My dad was Charles, and so here we are. I get the privilege of finishing the conference, finishing the morning session, I'm seeing the remnants of my son here with the broken crayons. So if you fall asleep, I'm going to throw this at you. And then I'll ask God to forgive me after. So we're going to finish up this conference. On Tuesday morning at our church, we have our staff chapels. We do it every Tuesday morning. And I was standing there during worship, which, by the way, Bethany and your team, I'm so proud of you all. This is fantastic. And I was standing there during song number 2 out of 3, and I was feeling so peaceful because I had no responsibilities during staff chapel, and because the staff runs it. And my right-hand guy, his name is Jimmy, comes up to me and goes, "Hey, you think you can teach?" And I'm like, "Next week or what?" It's like, "Yeah, right, like right now. You think you could do something on, you know, like building and supporting the vision?" And I'm like, "You're giving me 6 minutes of notice, man." So I threw together some thoughts during song number 3. And I'm going to share those thoughts with you today. It's called Building and Supporting the Vision. Now, obviously, when I did this, I was talking about the church vision. At Abundant Living, the vision is that we teach people how to enjoy the abundant life that Jesus wants them to give. Harvest Life has a pretty similar vision to that. Now, this could be relevant to your church. Many of you serve in this church. You're a part of the serving family. And so many of you have committed yourself to building and supporting this vision in God's house. How many of you love the house that God has placed you in? Amen. How many of you want to build and support the vision that God has inspired? Make no mistake. Make no mistake. This is not Pastor Dave and Shara's vision. This is God's vision that he has given to them, inspired onto his church that Jesus is the head of. Amen. So when you say, "I'm supporting my pastor's vision," what you are saying is, "I am supporting God's vision for the church he planted me in." Amen? But can I tell you that these points are not just for your church. This could be for the vision you have for your marriage. This could be the vision you have for your business. This could be for the vision you have for the business you haven't even started yet. This could be for the vision you have for your physical health, or maybe your emotional or spiritual health. You know, there's all sorts of vision. What about your financial vision, which would be a secondary vision to the vision of your marriage? But how many of you know if you don't have your financial vision in order, it can destroy the marriage? Amen? So this is just real talk today. Can we get into real talk? All right, you ready? If these points make you mad, blame it on the Lord. Don't be mad at the messenger. All right, I'm just playing around. Don't blame anything on the Lord. Building and supporting a vision. Number one, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, number one, stop complaining and start fixing.
Amen.
Amen. Great word.
Point two. No, just I'm just testing you to see if you would complain that I didn't elaborate on point number one. Can I tell you, anyone can complain. It takes no talent or ability to complain. It takes absolutely no revelation or level of wisdom to point out that other people are not perfect. You want to know what it takes to be able to complain? Being awake. That's it. Congratulations. You are so smart. Paul was not the greatest of the apostles. You are it. That you could notice that everybody else is not perfect. Wow, man. Wow. Thank you for showing up today. Well, I didn't really like the way they did the lights. Do you see that ridiculous jacket that pastor's wearing? Why is his hair like that? And Pastor Sergio, he talked about California. I don't even like California. Why are we doing this way in the nursery? Who says we were going to do this? Right. How come they sang that song? I don't like new wine. I don't drink wine. Oh, so now we're promoting alcoholism? I thought we'd been redeemed from that. In the crushing, I don't want to be crushed. Isn't it ridiculous how we are, though? Isn't it ridiculous? I can't believe you didn't take the trash out yet. Why didn't you do that? I told you to do that. How come you haven't taken the trash out? My God, when are you going to take the trash out? And then you wonder why he doesn't like you. I mean, anyone can complain. But can I tell you that it takes a real person of character to look beyond someone's faults and help them and propel them into their full potential, into their calling, into their purpose that God has placed. It takes no ability to see that other people or other churches or other businesses or other marriages or other situations are not perfect. Of course they're not perfect, and neither are you. And isn't it amazing, though, how we are so judgmental when other people aren't perfect, but when we're not perfect, we want to be given the benefit of the doubt. We want to be given grace. Now, we don't give the benefit of the doubt or give the grace, but when we mess up, oh, come on, just a second chance. I thought we were Christians. Amen. You know, maybe the stuff that bugs you around here is actually God's calling on your life. You're the one that noticed it. You're the one that it's bothering it. So how about instead of writing an email complaining, you just go start fixing it? Yeah. And Pastor Shara said, amen. Stop complaining and start fixing. Number two, stop competing and start winning. Stop competing and start winning. Why are we all in competition with each other? I mean, aren't we here to glorify God? Who's this really about? Is this about who was right or what is right? See, in competition, there's ambition, there's drive, there's focus, there's intensity. But in competition, someone wins at someone else's expense.
That's right. That's right.
So in leadership, there's a thing called appropriate ambition. Appropriate ambition has the same qualities that a competitor has. Focus, intensity, drive, motivation, the desire to succeed. And all of that is great, except in appropriate ambition, we seek that everyone wins and everyone gains when the vision is fulfilled. We don't seek to fulfill the vision at someone else's expense. So that's appropriate ambition. And that's what is so beautiful about healthy churches. Because when healthy churches are really flourishing, the vision is coming to life. And when the pastor wins, the church wins. When the nursery wins, the kids win. When the worship team wins, the church people win. When the singer wins, the drummer wins. It's not one or the other. It's we're all winning. We're all benefiting from the fulfillment of the vision. So instead of competing, let's all just go out and start winning. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's about His word transforming lives. It's about the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us, bringing us comfort and strength. Amen. Who cares who was right? Amen. Who cares who the light shined on? Who cares who gets the credit? Let's just focus on what was right and shine the light on Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And when the vision is fulfilled, let's glorify Him. And not us. Number three. Are you glad you came?
Yes.
You like this?
Yes.
Well, he hasn't even quoted seven scriptures yet. Stop complaining. Are you taking a picture of me? Number three. Here we go. Stop expecting and start being faithful. Stop expecting. You want to know what expecting is called? Entitlement. It is the new plague of our society. Did you know that millennials believe? And if you're a millennial in here, I love you. I'm rooting for you. No, for real. I'm rooting for you. I'm not against you. Too many people are against you. But also, you've been done a disservice. Millennials believe overwhelmingly, I believe it's like 82% of millennials believe that within 6 months of being hired on a job, that they should be given a promotion and a raise. I'm like, 6 months? You don't even know where the bathroom is yet? And you think you should get a promotion and a raise? I don't even know your last name. We haven't even given you a password on your email yet. And you think, like, what? We're not even sure we like you. Right? But entitlement is becoming like the plague of our society. I showed up, so I deserve your praise. I'm here, so you should be excited about that. But entitlement is not the way society actually works. And let me tell you this, it is not the way the kingdom of heaven works. The kingdom of heaven focuses on faithfulness. And faithfulness is being reliable, being trustworthy, being honest, being hardworking. Jesus didn't say, be entitled over little and I'll make you ruler over much. He said, be faithful over little. He also says, be faithful over what is another man's. Now, isn't that something? So you're sitting there dreaming about opening your own business, but you won't even go be faithful in the job God currently gave you. Amen. And you're sitting here wondering why God hasn't opened a door for you to open the business. And he's like, I told you to be faithful over what is another man's. You won't be faithful over that, and now you want me to give you your own? I hear all the time from people, I just want to feel valued. You ever hear that? Those of you leaders. I just want to feel valued. You ever heard that, Serge? I want to feel valued. I'm like, I want you to feel valued, but I also want you to know I don't value hard work. I mean, I don't value bad work. I don't value you not showing up on time. I don't value bad attitude. So if you want to not do a very good job, not be reliable, and have a bad attitude about not doing a good job, don't expect me to come validate that with giving it value. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Now, we show up on time, we do our jobs, we're faithful, we put a smile on our face. Yes. We have a saying around abundant living, hey, fix your face. That has nothing to do with makeup. People don't have to come to church. They come to church freely. Let's be happy when they show up. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm not too sure about her. Well, we weren't too sure about you 3 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Don't forget, you were all messed up at one point too. You were full-blown crazy. And we loved you. We counseled you. We prayed for you. We let you serve. We taught you the word. We put you in Bible study. We gave you a free t-shirt when everybody else paid. And now you're sitting. Amen. Right? Seek excellence. Have a good attitude. My God, be nice. You know, that could fix your marriage. For real. This is deep marriage advice. Go home and be nice. I mean, it really is kind of revolutionary thought there. Be nicer to your spouse than you are the girl at Starbucks. That's going to be what gets quoted on Instagram, isn't it? Of all the things. Number four. Stop defending and start growing. Talking about building and supporting a vision. So often, visions aren't realized because people start defending the wrong position. And because they are defending the wrong position, they stop growing. The Bible calls it pride. They begin rejecting wisdom. Therefore, their life or their ministry or their marriage stagnates. You know, your husband that you married 27 years ago isn't the same man that walked down the aisle with you. What made him happy 27 years ago isn't making him happy anymore. Why? Because that was 27 years ago. Stop defending that this is the way we used to do it. Well, you know what? It's not the way we do it now. We got to evolve. We've got to change. We've got to grow. We can't let society leave us behind or else we become irrelevant. Now, we're not changing the message. But we'll change the methods. I'm telling you right now, if 10,000 more people would come to church every Sunday because Pastor Dave hung upside down while teaching, guess what's happening next Sunday? We hanging him upside down. We're strapping him up. But look, here, let me tell you right now, 20 years from now, we won't be teaching the same we're teaching today. The millennial generation has an attention span of 11 to 12 minutes. They are used to a combination of speaking and video. Within the next 20 years, all of our 30 to 40 minute sermons will become a combination of us speaking and clips and storytelling and video. Why? Because if we don't evolve to reach them, we will not have churches to come gather in. So are we going to defend? Well, this is the way we do it. Or are we going to grow so that the vision can be realized? Amen? Some of you are like, I'm not too sure about that. But you know what that means? We actually have to develop an open heart to challenge, to correction, an open heart to creativity, to the Holy Spirit inspiring new ideas and thoughts in us, through us, and around us. But so many people have a closed mindset to that. Or back to the previous point, they like it if it was their idea. But that goes back to stop competing. So stop defending. Number one, stop complaining and start fixing. Number two, stop competing and start winning. Number three, stop expecting and start being faithful. Number four, stop defending and start growing. Number five, stop worrying and start praying. Stop worrying and start praying. I'm going to quote a scripture for those of you that were going to send me an email. You weren't going to worry. Thank you. Appreciate that. Here we go. We're pastoral now, okay? Super spiritual. I'm even going to quote it to you out of a different translation. So, you know, that means I'm deeper because I read more than one translation. Some of you are like, I don't know what to think of this guy. Philippians 4, 6 through 7, New Living Translation. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You know, so often in the pursuit of your vision, whether at home or at work, in your business, with your kids, here at church, in kids' church, and worship team, and the guest services teams, and nursery, whatever the vision is. So often, it is easy to fall into the human nature that we take ourselves so serious. Too serious, and we forget that God's anointing, God's grace, and God's wisdom is on our lives. And we carry unnecessary burdens. What used to be fun has now become stressful. We forget that God's got us. You know, people ask me a lot, what do you think one of the major concerns is in Christianity? And to be honest with you, I think prayer is a major concern in Christianity nowadays. It's like we forgot to pray. We have forgotten to get down on our knees before Jesus. We have forgotten to talk to Him. We have forgotten to turn the noise off and listen. I don't know how often people tell me, Jared, I feel like I don't hear the voice of the Lord. And I'm like, do you ever shut up and listen? Well, I pray in my car. Is that the only time you pray? Because that's really distracted praying. Also, really distracted driving. And you scare me a little bit. Of course you're not hearing the voice of the Lord. You're hearing honking. So often people say, Jared, I don't even really know what to say to the Lord. And I'm like, well, last night you told your wife, I'm really concerned about this meeting and I need wisdom. And I'm like, why don't you tell that to God? God, I'm really concerned about this meeting and I need wisdom. That's praying. How about instead of complaining, you start praying? How about instead of sending the email, you take that 5 minutes and pray about it? Yes, amen. How about instead of gossiping about someone, you pray for them? Yes. How about instead of stressing about how we're going to do this, you pray for God to enlighten you to go do it yourself? If we want the supernatural, we've got to make room in our natural. And prayer is the key that unlocks that. Jesus said, come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in your time of need. The Bible says he is your ever-present help in your time of trouble. He's sitting there, ready and waiting. With anticipation for you to come. But why is it that we tend to go to everything else before we go to God? We go to our sister. We go to our cousin. We'll go to our boss. We'll go to our spouse. We'll go to Facebook. Wondering what you think of this. You care what people you've never met think about this? We'll go in the back around the bookstore. What if we went to the altar? What if instead of worrying and carrying a burden, we recognize that Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light? What if we recognize that Jesus carries the burden for us, but he doesn't carry it if we won't go give it to him?
That's right.
You know, I just believe with all my heart, we need a revolution of seeking Jesus. We need to get back to where it started. Which is, Lord, I need your help. God, help. Speak to me. I don't know what I'm doing. So you do it. God, I need your grace. Jared, that doesn't sound like fancy prayer. Prayer isn't fancy. We make it look fancy so that you go, wow. That pastor is so smart. But like, the realest prayers to me is when you're just talking to the Lord with truth. You're like, Jesus, Oh, man. Woo! Can you help me? I really made her mad. You got to help me fix this. Okay, in Jesus' name. That's praying, man. Praying is, Lord, give my pastor wisdom this Sunday. Do you ever just pray that when you're walking in? God, I believe our pastors have wisdom today, not just to speak to me, but to speak to the person that doesn't know Jesus. Instead of, I wonder what he's going to preach today. He's talking about faith again. Man, I dare you to make prayer the priority of your life. Pray in the morning. Pray standing in line at Target. When you drive by a car accident, pray for those darn people. What do I pray? Lord, there's a car accident, and I just believe they're going to be okay. Sounds like a pretty good prayer to me. Well, I don't know what happened to him. You don't need to know. The Lord knows. Man, just pray. Pray for your church. Pray for your pastors. Pray for your kids' pastors. Pray for these tech people who just got a new light board and the dude, the trading guy left. Pray for them. That's intimidating stuff. You know why? Because if they make a mistake, we all see it. Pray for those dudes at Starbucks that you think are so weird. They're so weird. How about you start praying for them? Pray for the millennials you don't understand. Pray for them. Amen? Amen. Stand to your feet. We're going to pray. I have to pray because I just talked about it, so I have to. That's pastoral rule number 12. I made that up. We don't have a list of rules. Can I just pray for you all? Lift your hands towards heaven. God, what a privilege it is to be here today. Look at all these people on a Saturday morning. And God, I pray for them. I pray for them, wherever they are, whatever they represent, whatever their dreams, their passions, their desires may be, young, old, rich, poor, and everywhere in between, new to Christianity, 30 years in, single, divorced, married, grandma, grandpa, the new mother, the new father. God, we pray for them. God, I declare that you are more than enough. I declare that whatever needs they walked in here, that you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. So God, we pray that your supernatural provision will be in their lives, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, relationally, financially, physically. Whatever it is, God, I don't need to know, you know. But Father, we also stand here in pure joy, recognizing not only that you know the concern, you know the answer. God, we lift these people up to you. We believe that you are inspiring them today, that you are breathing new life, new hope, new vision, new passion into their hearts and minds. God, we pray for Harvest Life. And we believe that Harvest Life is the light in this region. We believe that men and women, young and old, are coming into this building, ready to serve, ready to connect, ready to love you, Lord. We believe that the lost are coming to Jesus. God, we glorify you and we praise you. We glorify you, we praise you. God, we glorify you. We give you praise. We give you worship. We give you honor. We glorify you, Jesus. Speak to us now.
Thank you for listening. We trust this message has blessed your life. Visit us at www.harvestlifechurch.org.